Okay, we're starting here with the Mishnah on the bottom of Samech Zayin Amud Bet. Here we're up to the part of the Avodah, where he's completed all the Avodah internally with the Parvus Seir. Afterwards, what remains to do with the Parvus Seir is to open them up, take the Emurim, the fats out, place them on the Mizbeach, and then the carcasses of the Parvus Seir are sent Michutz LaMachaneh, are sent outside of the Shlosh Machanot, and are burnt over there. So here the Mishnah is describing that process. Balo itzel par visayir hanisrafim comes to the par visayir hanisrafim, which refers to the par and the seir lashem that we just discussed all the avoda with. Koran, he tears them open, votziat emurehem, and he takes out the fats. Natnan bimegis, he puts them onto a silver platter of sorts, viktiram agabe mizbeach, and then he puts them onto the mizbeach. Kalan bimakleot, then he weaves them onto these posts, votzian lebet asreifa, and they take them out to the place where they're going to be burned. Me'ematay mitamim begadim, from what point in time do they become tameh with their begadim? Ishiyatzu mechutz lechumat azara, as soon as they exit the azara. Only once the fire has taken hold on the majority of them do they become tamei. So here, the psukim that deal with this, the hakravat, the chelev, the par, and the seir, says, v'tchelev ha-chatat yaktira mizbecha, the chelev of the chataot are put onto the mizbeach. Then, by the sreifat ha-par, v'asir pnimim, it says, v'tpar chatat, v'tzir ha-chatat asher huvat damam lechaper b'kodesh, brought to do the kapara, yotzi. They're taken out. They're burnt on the fire, the pyre out there. The one who burns them has to clean his clothing, go to the mikveh. So he and his clothing become tamei. That's what's described over here, the process of the pyre v'tzair. The Gemara here is controversial because of the girsa. What we have in our Gemara now is based on Rashi's Girsa, which is, Bhikdaram Salkadatcho? You put them on the Mizbeach now? It says here that you take the fats out, and then you put them on the Mizbeach. If you look at the Psukim that I read to you are the final Psukim in Seder Avodat Yom HaKippurim. You have summary Psukim after that, but these are the final stages of Yavodah, which is, Etchel v'chatat yiktir Mizbecha, then you have the person who sent out the Seir becomes Tamei. Then you have Srifat, Paran Khatat, and that's the end. Between those items at the end and what we just finished off with, which was the Vidui on the Seir Lazazel and the Shiluach of the Seir Lazazel, you still have the Hotzeat Kafu Machta, which we know is out of order, but it's there. And we also have the Olato V'Olat Am, which is the Ayo and the El Ha'am that have to be done. So how is it here that the Mishnah is describing, he pulls the fats out and puts them on the Mizbeach? That would be out of order. There are other items that have to transpire before he puts these fats onto the Mizbeach. Number one is he's in the Big Day Lavan. Let's start with that. Big Day Lavan are for Avodat Pnim, things that are done inside the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim. This Haktara of the fats is on the Mizbeach HaChitzon. That should be done in the Big Day Zahav. Number two is, in terms of order, it's out of order. If you look in Rashi here, he gives you the order of the Avodah. We'll get back to it. There's a machloket on Daf Ayin with exactly what the order is, and then we'll discuss all the positions of the Rishonim as to the order of Avodat Yom HaKippurim, because there's some controversy about certain of the items that are not mentioned explicitly in the Mishnah, where they fit. So now the Gemara says, so how is it that he's putting on this Beach? Ela Ema, l'haktiram agavi mizbeach. Not that he puts them on now, but he puts them onto the platter, into the silver klisharet, in order to hold them, to put them on the Mizbeach later. Not to immediately put them on the Mizbeach, but that's the place they're going to sit until he puts them on the Mizbeach. That's kavod for the fats. You're not going to dump them on the floor and then wait there until you put them on the Mizbeach. So you put them on the klisharet in the interim. So now, what the original Gemara said, which Arashi took out of the Girsa, which is, b'megis makter lehu? He has to put them on the Mizbeach with a klisharet? That's the Gemara's question originally, which Rashi takes out and says, why is that question reasonable? That is an improper girsa. This is the question that he enumerated in the Gemara. So Rashi says that question is not relevant in terms of Tamad Lemizbeach with regards to what? He put it on a klisharet? We know that he put it on a klisharet, and we find that in numerous places where the same sort of language is used. And despite that fact, there is no question asked. And in some of the places, the question is asked. So Rashi says, I don't know why you have to ask it over here again, or I don't know why. In other places, they didn't ask it, and he would have to ask it here. So he says, I don't think the question's relevant over here. He lets it go. Tosafot's upset about that, because Tosafot says, we look through all the Svarim, and every Sefer has this Girsa in it. Also, and Rashi comes along and takes out the Girsa. How could it be that every Gemara that we're looking at has the Girsa, and Rashi's taking out the Girsa? There must be something to this kirsa. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam, as well as the Tosafot over here, say it is the proper kirsa. It says, Veli Nira, the Garsin and Shapir, B'megis, Sakad Atcho? You think you have to take it up in a Megis? Uparich. V'chi Chovahu, Sheyocholei Lichenu, B'megis, L'mizbeach. Is it really obligatory that he takes this in a klisha raid up to the mizbeach? He nami de shikaran votziyem uriyem no bimegis. I understand when he rips open the animals that he's got to put them into the megis below a gabi ritzpa and not drop them onto the floor. Shlo yehiko cheshemayim mutalim kinevela. They shouldn't be just thrown or strewn on the floor like you would a nevela carcass. Bikom akom kishemalan the mizbeach yechol alotam biyadav. Why does he have to take them on a klisha raid? He could just as easily carry them up and put them in the mizbeach with his hands. He doesn't have to use a kli sharet. Uminiktani legabe seder yom ha-kipurim. Why is the Gemara so bothered by this? It's because it says it in seder yom ha-kipurim. Mashma dekachwa seder. Ubinyin acher in lasot. We know that everything in seder yom ha-kipurim is me'akev. And so here, it's written within the context of seder yom ha-kipurim. Therefore, the Gemara questions it because it sounds like it's obligatory. It's an imperative that he takes it up with the megis, which we think is not true. He could carry it up with his hands. He doesn't have to take it in a kli sharet. And that's why the Gemara is posing the question here, because specifically it's in Seder Yom HaKippurim, making it sound like this is it. You can't do it any other way. Is it really an obligatory to do this? Also in Psachim, when it lists out the Seder HaPesach, Shchitato v'kabalat tamo v'lachtob zikato v'efsheto v'aktarato, over there also it asks the question, because there it's also called Seder. We have the Seder at night, but the Seder, Hakrovat HaPasach, Alma Techova Ulaktiro B'Megis. So it asks the same question there, because it makes it sound like that's part of a process that's obligatory. And the Gemara wants to know, since when is that obligatory? Also in Sotah, where it asks the question, because there it says Seder Minachot. It's enumerating the way that you bring a mincha. So it also says, anytime the Gemara has something called a Seder, where it's enumerating for you all the processes that you have to go through in a certain type of Korban, and then it says this, it makes it sound like this is a part of the process, and it must be done in this way. For that reason, the Gemara is asking in these three locations. Rashi says, why do I have to ask it every time it shows up? We asked it once there, we asked it once here. Why repeat it? Repeat it. Rabbeinu Tam has a different answer. He says, well, they did it once by Menachot, they did it once by Behemot, and then over here they do it by Yom HaKippurim because it's different. Here it's the Pnimiim, or here it's a Pyre, and there was a Seir. So he says they asked it in different cases because it looks a little different. The way the Tosafot's answering is, it asks it everywhere. It seems like there's a specific order and a specific process that's delineated, and because of that, you must do this. Gemara says, what do you mean you must do this? You don't have to do this. And therefore, the Gemara says, B'megis al-kadatcha, el-e'ema l'aktiram al-gabi mizbeach. B'megis, it's not, you say afterwards, le'aktiram al-mizbeach, that it goes on to the megis to put it on the mizbeach, making it sound like you take the megis up to the mizbeach. Rather, it goes on to the megis, because later on, l'aktiram al-gabi mizbeach, that he will take them from there and put them on mizbeach. It's not directly on the megis. It doesn't have to get there with the kli sharet. So that's the way Tosafot reads the gears over here, as opposed to Rashi. Then the Mishnah said, kalan b'miklot. After he tears out the fats, he takes the remainder of the carcasses, the entirety of them, and he places them on these miklaot. As Rashi describes, you have four individuals. They have two poles from front to back, from the front person to the back person, front back to the back person. So you have two parallel poles. And then you stretch the carcasses over the poles. You lay them on top of each other, the pyre and the seir. Obviously, the pyre is bigger, so I assume they put the pyre on the bottom, and then they put the seir on top of it. Amar Rabbi Yochanan kamin kliyah. He used to weave them or network them, meaning that they used to wrap the animals around the poles or over each other so they didn't fall. That's why they're called kla'ot or kamin kliyah. Now, the Gemara moves on to the next piece, which is Tana lo haya minatchan nituach basar ola elo or al gabi basar. So here the Gemara differentiates between what happens in an ola. By an ola, the entirety of the animal ends up on the mizbeach. We know that there's nothing that's left except for the skin. First it's flayed, the skins are taken off and given to the kohanim. The remainder of the animal ends up on the mizbeach. How it ends up in this mizbeach is nituach. They quarter it, they dismember it, piece by piece, and then they put each piece, goes on the mizbeach. We had a description of that earlier in the Masechta, with the Kohanim that are involved in the Tamid. And all the different pieces, you have the head, the front leg, the hind legs, you have all the different pieces of the animal that comes from nituach, from cutting it up, from chopping it up. But what is true by the Ola is, by the Ola, they first flay it, they take the skin off, and then they quarter it. Then they dismember it to put it on the mizbeach. What the Gemara suggests here is that's not true by the Sirim and Nisrafim and the Parim and Nisrafim. The skin remains on before they do the nituach. before they cut it up into pieces, meaning that they'll never take the skin off, because everything is going into the sreifa, everything is going into the fire. So that's what the Braita says is, lo yamanatkam nituach basar ola, don't do it like the ola, or al gabe basar. The skin remains on here when they quarter it, when they split it up. Minahane mile. How do we know that that's true? Because, Tatanyo, Rabbi Omer, nemar kan oru basar uperish. It says over here, or basar uperish, v'ner lahalan, oru basar uperish. And this is going to come up numerous times today. I'll explain it more explicitly when we get to the next Gemara, because it's more important there. But there are other parim anisrafim, including the par kohen mashiach and the par helem dover shel tzibur. They're also parim anisrafim. Their dam is only put before the parochet on the mizbeach zahav, not on the kaporet, not in the kodesh kodeshim. But they have the same matno dam bifnim, and they're also nisrafim. They're taken out to be burnt. Also, just like these parim. So over here, the Gemara compares what's written by the Papyr and Seir of Yom Kippurim, which says, we read it before, Bisarfu be'esh et orotam, vet bisaram, vet pirsham. Orotam is their skin, bisaram is their flesh, and pirsham is their waist, anything that is the waist or the innards. So that all goes into this sreifa, into this pyre. V'nemar lahalan. And it also says by the pyre, Kohen Mashiach, the similar type of language describing what is burnt, it says, vet orapar, Ved kol bisaro, al rosho v'al kirav, vikir bo, upir sho, all of those items. Votzia et hakol apar mechutz l'machne, makom tor, shefach adeshen v'saraf oto, al etzim be'esh, shefach adeshen yitzaref. They're all burnt. All the stuff is burnt on the outside by the machanot. So now the Gemara says, what does that connection tell us? It says, ma lahalan ayidei nituach v'lo ayidei hefshet, by the par. It's done by dismembering it, by cutting it up. They have shape, but not flaying it. Afkan. So to over here, so to over here, you'll do it. You'll take the pieces, but you will not flay it. So now the Gemara goes, okay, that's a nice drasha. So we learned it out of Par Kohen Mashiach. But Par Kohen Mashiach, where did you see over there that there's no have shape? Where did you see there that it's done in this way? That's what the Gemara asks now. How do you know by Par Kohen Mashiach that it's done in that way? The Tanya. Because it says, Kirbo upirsho, which is what we read before, says vet orapar vet kol basaro aroshov akrav vikirbo upirsho. So those are kirbo and pirsho, which is written by the parakohen mashiach vehotzi. And right afterwards it says vehotzi kol apar chutz machane. So you take it all out. Lameid shemotzio shalem. It tells you that you take it out whole. Whole is because kirbo and pirsho, the kerev and the pirsho are all there. They're all in there. They're all together. It's not separate. Yocho yisrafenu shalem. You would think you burn it up in one piece. Nemar kan rosho uchra'av. It says here, we read that again before, by the Parakohen Mashiach, which says, vet orapar, vet kol besaro, al rosho v'al kira'av. So rosho and kira'av are mentioned. The rosho and the kira'im are mentioned, the head and the feet. Nemar lahalan, and it says by the korban ola. Korban ola, it actually says it twice. It says it once there by the par and once by the keves or by the tzon, which is by the bayikra aleph. In pasuk tet, it says v'kirbo chrav yachatz b'mayim v'ktir hakohen et hakol mizbecha. And then also in perak aleph pasuk yud gimel, it says v'akerev v'akarayim yachatz b'mayim v'kriv hakohen et hakol, and then you put it down to the mizbeach. And we know by the korban ola, it says, v'vshita et ola v'nitach utalin tacheha. You have to cut it up into pieces. Tira kohen et hakol mizbecha. And then in the subsequent one, it says, v'nitach utalin tachav. V'et rosho v'et pidro v'acha kohen utam aleitzim ha-shalei shoshal mizbeach. So we know there's nituach by the korban ola. We also know there's hefshet by the korban ola. So here the Gemara says, okay, the hefshet we're not going to learn. Because over here it says, kirbo and pirsho and then behotzi. I'll discuss why that is the case. But at least the nituach, we're going to learn from the olah, because it uses the term rosho uchra'av in both places. Just like the rosho and the kira'ayim by the olah are, because they were dismembered, they were quartered. So too, over here, you're going to have to cut it up into pieces and put it on the mizbech. Malahalana yidei nituach, afgana yidei nituach. So you would think, I malahalana yidei hefshet. You would think, just like by the olah, you have to flay it first. Afgana yidei hefshet. So too, over here, you have to flay it. Tamalomar, Vikirbo upirsho, my Talmuda. What's the limud here? What does kirbo and pirsho teach you? So I'm a rapapa, kashem shi pirsho bi kirbo, kach bisoro bi oro. Just like the pirsho is inside the kerev, so too the basar is inside the or, because the pasuk brings them together there by the parakohen mashiach. It says, vet ora par vet kol bisaro. So it puts the or and the basar juxtaposed. And then it says, al rosho bi al krav, which brings in the limud from olah. And then it says, Vikirbo upirsho. So it juxtaposes kirbo and pirsho. So just like the kirvayim and the perish are together, so too the or and the basar are together. How you learn that out is subject to a machloket. Rashi says that it is hikish hotzat or basar, lotzat kirbo upirsho. Because right afterwards it says, vihotzi, take it out. Now, when you're talking about kirbo and pirsho, can you separate the kirbayim from the perish and carry them out? It would be pretty hard to carry out the perish by itself. So Rashi says, the fact that it says vihotzi afterwards, right after kirbo or pirsho, is telling you that it must be that the pirsho is inside of the kirbayim, because it's only vihotzi oto. Then, afterwards in that pasuk, it says, vihotzi et kol paro michutz l'machaneh, makom tor, v'shem chadesh v'saraf oto. So Rashi says, first of all, it says, hotzat or basar is the same as kirbo or pirsho. So the hotzah is done when they're together. Then, in addition to that, it says, vihotzi v'saraf. So after you've taken it out, you have to burn it, v'saraf oto. So because of that, I have a hekesh between kirbo pirsho to oren basar, which tell you the hotzi has to be done together. And then the hotzi is said also by the sreifa, hotzi bisarach. So because those two are together, it tells you just like you did the hotza, so too you'll do the sreifa. Which is that the pieces are together, meaning that the basar is inside of the or. That's the way Rashi does it. Tosafot is upset by that because he says in Kodashim we know that you can't make a hekesh lehekesh. So he says, I don't know how Rashi's doing this, hekesh lehekesh. So rather, Tosafot says it's one step, which is pirbo upirsho, and then afterwards it says visarach oto. So saraf oto is in the singular, oto, meaning the one unit is burnt. So since it's saraf oto with regards to multiple items, it tells you that they must be together. And that's how he learns it out, that because kirbo and pirsho, it says visarach oto about them, therefore also by the basar and the or, it'll also be visarach oto, which means that they will be together. So Tosafot skips over the one step of the Hekesh, which is he doesn't have the Hotza'ah part of the Hekesh. So what actually happens here in this process is that inside of the Azara'ah, he rips open the animals, takes out the Imurim, and puts them onto the Megis, he puts them onto the platter, into that tray. Then they carry them out whole. They carry them out on the sticks, on the staves that they put across them, on those poles, and they take them out to the place where they're going to burn them. When they get to the place where they burn them, they actually now quarter them, they dismember them over there, they do Nituach, based on the fact that it says Rosho Krav, like the Ola. But different than the Ola, they don't first flay them and then separate them. The skin remains on the ore, and then they burn them like that. They burn it with the pieces together. That's the process of Par Anisraf and Pitir Anisraf. All right, now next. Meimatai mitamim bigadim. From one point, do they become tamei bigadim? The Gemara is about to quote a Torat Kohanim over here. So now we'll take a step back and there is Par Kohen Mashiach, which I mentioned before in Vayikra Dalet, and it's Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, which is also mentioned in Perek Dalet. Over there, there's a pasuk that is extraneous. The Megaron Zvachim discusses it. It says, Vasala Par, Kashia Sala Par Achatat, Ken Yaselo. So it says by the Par Helam Dover Tzibur, Vasala Par, you should do to the Par, Kashia Sala Par Achatat, like you did to the Par Achatat, Ken Yaselo, so too should be done to it. All the antecedents are unclear here, because it's using generic terms. It's unnecessary because at the end of the Paralam Dover Shel Tzibur, it says, Votziyat Par Michutz LaMachaneh, Saraf Oto Kasher Saraf Et Par Rishon. You'll burn it like you burnt the Par Rishon, which is the Par Kohen Mashiach. And by the Par of the Elam Dover Tzibur, it enumerates all the things you do, exactly like it did by Par Kohen Mashiach. So there's no reason to compare the two of them. So the Gemara there dashens, Vasala Par refers to Biyom HaKippurim. Kashir Asala Par refers to the Par Kohen Mashiach, the Par Chatat is Kohen Mashiach, Ken Yaselo, so too will be done to the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. Because of that, there's a Hekesh between all of these Parim and Nisrafim. Between the Par Kohen Mashiach, Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur, and the Par of Yom HaKippurim, that Pasuk brings a Hekesh that brings them all together. That's number one. Number two is, by Yom HaKippurim, it says here, with regards to the Sreifata Par and the Seir, it says, why does it have to say parachatat and seir achatat? It could have just said vetapar vetaseir, and you would have known that. What's the extra word chatat, chatat? So once again, the Gemara loses that as a gzereshava. First of all, to say par and seir are the same. Whatever din is true by the par is also true by the seir. But not only that, whatever is true by the par of Yom Kippurim, chatat, chatat, teaches you, this is true by the Par Kohen Mashiach, is also true by the Par Helam Dover Shel Tzibur. As well as Sir Chatat comes to teach you, so is true by the Sir of Avodah Zarah. I just enumerated for you all the Parim and Sirim that are Nisrafim. So basically we have these Hekeshot that bring them all together, that you can move Dinim around between them. That's number one. So now what the Gemara wants to understand here, first of all, is where do you burn it? Where does this happen? So now the Gemara launches into a braita that comes from Torah Kohanim. Then Rashi discusses the girsa on what it looks like in Torah Kohanim, which is Tan Rabbanan. Yechutziyah michutz l'machaneh v'sarfo. So you take it outside of the machaneh and you burn it. L'hana natano ten lehem shlosh machanot. Over there you give them three machanot. V'kan natano ten lehem machaneh achat. Over here you only give it one machaneh. So what it's referencing is by Kar Kohen Mashiach. By Kar Kohen Mashiach, when you say you take it michutz l'machaneh, it means outside of the three machanot. It means machaneh shechina, machaneh leviyah, machaneh Yisrael. The equivalent of Yerushalayim is the Azarot are machaneh shechina. Har Abayit is machaneh leviyah. Machaneh Yisrael is Chomot Yerushalayim, the city of Yerushalayim. So when I say it has to be outside of shlosh machanot, it means it has to be outside the walls of the city. So for the Par Kohen Mashiach to be burnt, it must be burnt mechutz l'machaneh. In a second, we'll know why that is. Has to be burned outside all of them, outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Over here, by Yom HaKippurim, if I look at the Psukim by Yom HaKippurim, all it says is, Ve'et Perah Chatat, Ve'et Zira Chatat, Asher Uvat Damam L'Chaper B'Kodesh, Yutzi Al Michutz L'Machaneh. V'Safu Ba'esh Et Torotam Ve'et B'Saram P'Nisham. Chutz L'Machaneh is only outside of one Machaneh, which would imply as soon as you get them out of the Mikdash, you can burn them. So Gemara wants to understand this. I don't understand. How come over there, by the Par, Kohen Mashiach, it tells you that it's got to be outside of three Machanot? And over here, it's telling you only have to be outside of one machaneh. In kein lama ne'amar michutz l'machaneh. So what does the michutz l'machaneh come to teach you? The Gemara is obvious to it that that's not the case. That it must be that the Par and Seir of Yom HaKippurim are burnt outside of the shlosh machanot. So why does it say michutz l'machaneh over here? It's extraneous. We'll see why in a second. That as soon as they leave the first machaneh, then the people who are carrying it become tamei bigadim. So that goes back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, there was an argument when they become tamei begadim. The Tanakhama says, "Me'im matay mitamim begadim, mishatzu chutz tuchomat azara." As soon as they leave the azara, so this limud is in accord with his position, which is that they become tamei as soon as they leave the machaneh. So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that this idea of tumat begadim derives from the par and seir of Yom Kippurim, because the subsequent pasuk in Yom Kippurim is v'asurei futam yichabes begadav v'chatz b'sero b'mayim achrei kein yavo l'machaneh. So whatever said in the previous pasuk of Michutz Machaneh is what generates the Asarei Futam has to be Mechabez Begadav. So we learn out that Tumat Begadim is connected to El Michutz Machaneh, which means leaving the Machaneh Shekhinah. So as soon as you leave the Machaneh Shekhinah, that's when you become Tamei Begadim. That is the only place we know about it, and that'll be extrapolated or learned to all the other items through that Chatat Chatat that we have. At Parah Chatat, Vetzira Chatat, Chatat Chatat takes everything from the Par of Yom Kippurim and spreads it to all the other Parim, and the Seir Chatat spreads it to all the other Seirim, and from Par to Seir. So because of that, because of Yom Kippur, we learn that any time you're dealing with any of these Parim, any Seirim, 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 as soon as you leave the Machaneh Shekhinah, you become Tameh. Now over here, where do you burn them? We don't have any information about where you burn them, because you just use Mechutz Machaneh to teach you about where you become Tameh. That answer is, we learn that out of Par Kohen Mashiach. We said before, because of the Pasuk, Vasal Par, that teaches you that there's a connection between Par Kohen Mashiach, Par Helam Davashot Tzibor, and Yom HaKippurim. It teaches us that they all have the same din. That din is derived in Par Kohen Mashiach, that you have to take it out of three machanot. Now that's also not so simple, because if you read the psukim by Par Kohen Mashiach, it says, "V'otzi et kol ha'par mechutz ha'machaneh." Makom tor, el shefach ha'deshen, v'saraf oto ha'itzim, v'eish, el shefach ha'deshen yisareif. Also he says, mechutz ha'machaneh, one machaneh. So now you have the Torah Kohanim, which the Gemara is about to begin, which is, v'hatam minolon. Over there, by the Par Kohen Mashiach, how do you know that you gotta take it out of the three machanot? Titania, it says, v'tzi et kol ha'par, chutz l'shlosh machanot. It says, you take the par out. Out means out of the three machanot. Now the Braita says, this is a classic language of the Braita, gives you the answer up front, and then goes back and tests it to see, wait, is that really true? Ata omer chutz l'shlosh machanot, o'enu elo chutz l'machaneh achat. How do you know it's three machanot? Maybe it means one machaneh. All it says is michutz l'machaneh. So how do you know it means three machanot? When it talks about par elam deber shel tzibur, over there it says, v'utzi et par el michutz l'machaneh. Take it out of the machaneh, v'saraf oto kasher saraf et par rishon, and you burn it like the first par. So there it says, el michutz l'machaneh, she'ein tamu nomar. Why do you need el michutz l'machaneh by par elam deber shel tzibur, if the remainder of the pasuk says, v'saraf oto kasher saraf et par rishon? It just told you, you do it exactly like the par kohen Mashiach. Well, par kohen Mashiach was michutz l'machaneh. So why are you telling me again, al michutz l'machaneh, by the parlam davar shel tzibur? Shehari kvar ne'amar v'saraf oto kasher saraf et par rishon, u'ma tamu lomar michutz l'machaneh, litein lo machaneh shniyah. Give you a second machaneh that you gotta go out of. They're stacking al michutz l'machaneh. We have one michutz l'machaneh by the par kohen Mashiach, We're stacking on top of that the next El Mechutz Machaneh by the Pyre Elam Tabar Tzibar and saying that means a second Machaneh. Ukshomer Machutz Machaneh B'deshen, by the Deshen it says, found in Perek Vav. In Vayikra, it says over there, Upashatet Bigadav, V'lavash Bigadim Acherim, V'hotziyat Deshen El Mechutz Machaneh El Makom Taor. That the Deshen, this is the Hotzat Deshen, after the Trumat Deshen is done, then there's the Hotzat Deshen also takes it El Mechutz Machaneh. So now, why is that necessary? She'ain't Tom Omar. No, why not? Of course you need to know where you burn it. But, by the Parakoin Mashiach, what did it say? It says, Ve'tziyat kol ha'par mechutz ha'machaneh ha'makom tor, el shefech ha'deshen. You take it to the place where you put the deshen. So the pasuk over there already told you where the deshen goes. It goes to the same place where you burn the par. So now, why over here does it tell me, Votzi, et ha'deshen ha'mechutz ha'machaneh ha'makom tor? Why do you need Votzi et ha'deshen ha'mechutz ha'machaneh? You know that the deshen goes exactly where the par goes, which is already mechutz l'machaneh. So again, now I have another extra mechutz l'machaneh. She'en tomo l'mar sh'ak v'en yamar l'shefach ha'deshen, tein lo machaneh shlishit. So I stack on another mechutz l'machaneh, now I get three machanot. So now I know that it has to be outside of the three machanot. Based on that, I know by par koin Mashiach is mechutz the three machanot. Then by the par of hemelam davar shetzibar, it says, zusafo tok ha'sher saraf et ha'par rishon. So it's done the same place that the par, Kohen Mashiach, is done, so too the par, Elam Tavar Shut Sibir, is done, that's outside of three. And then that extra pasuk, Vasala Par, Kasher Asala Par Chatat, Ken Yaselo, refers to par Yoma Kippurim. So that tells you the par of Yoma Kippurim is put outside of three machanot, and then the par and Seir and Yom Kippur are joined at the hip. So because of that, the Seir is also put, Michutz L'Shalosh Machanot, which moves over to Seir Shel Avodah Zarah as well. So because of that, all of them are done, Michutz L'Shalosh Machanot. And that's the question that's being raised by this Torah Kohanim. Once I know that it's done mechutz l'shalosh machanot, why are you telling me by par of Yom Kippurim el mechutz l'machaneh? It's completely extraneous. It's not necessary. So the answer is, el mechutz l'machaneh teaches you about the tumah. Where do you become tamei? When you leave the first machaneh. So when you leave machaneh shechinah, they all become tamei and the begadim become tamei. Where does that have to be burnt? That's outside of the three machanot. So outside of the three machanot is learned from par kohen Mashiach. The Tumah, outside of the first Machaneh, has learned out of Par and Seir of Yom HaKippurim. So that's what we covered. Gemara is not as clear. Rashi goes it up. Once you explain it, it's easier to understand, but the flow in Torah Kohanim is much more explicit, and that's what Rashi brings over here. Our Gemara brings it in much more of a concise form. Right now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon, our Mishnah, believes that you're not Tameh when you leave the Ezra. You're only Tameh when you burn it, when the robe of the fire is caught on the animal. So, Hai Mechutz Machaneh, Ma'abidle. He still has this Mechutz Machaneh by Yom HaKippurim, which is extraneous. He agrees that it's done mechutz l'shalosh machanot. So what does he do with this mechutz machaneh here? We buy leg netanya. He needs it for this brayta. Rabbi Eliezer Omer nemar kan mechutz machaneh, nemar lahalan mechutz machaneh. It says over here mechutz machaneh, and also says mechutz machaneh by the para aduma. The para aduma says v'natatam otoy l'azara kohen, v'utzi otoy mechutz machaneh v'shachat otoy lefanav. But there it says mechutz machaneh. Ma kan mechutz l'shalosh machanot, af lahalan mechutz l'shalosh machanot. Just like the Par Yom Kippurim is outside of three machanot, how do we know that? From Par Kohen Mashiach. So too, the Parah Duma is done chutz machaneh, means mechutz l'shalosh machanot. He has gzer shava of mechutz machaneh by Par Yom Kippurim to the mechutz machaneh of the Parah Duma. So just like here, it's outside of three machanot, so too by Parah Duma. Umala halan b'mizrachat shel Yerushalayim. Just like by the Parah Duma, you know it's done the eastern side of Yerushalayim. How do you know that? Because it says in the subsequent pasuk, "Bizal nochach pnei me'ol moed." He has to do the azat adam keneged the ol moed, facing the doorways, the openings of the Kodesh HaKodeshim. The Kodesh HaKodeshim is on the western side. The only way you can see the doorways for the Petach ol moed is if you're standing on the eastern side, on Har HaZeitim. When you stand on Har HaZeitim, you're looking into the bayit. When we stand at the Kota, we're in the back of the Mikdash. We're on the other side of the Mikdash, on the western side. But Har HaZeitim, which is on the other side, the eastern side, you would be facing towards Mikdash if you're standing on Har HaZeitim. So that's how we know that the Parah Aduma is done on the eastern side of Yerushalayim. Afkan Mizrachah Shel Yerushalayim. So too, over here, it's done on the Mizrachot Shel Yerushalayim. How do you know when it says about the Parah of Yom HaKippurim, where do you burn it? How do you know where the Shlosh Machanot is? Shlosh Machanot just means outside the walls of Yerushalayim. It could be anywhere around Yerushalayim as long as it's outside the walls. The answer is, I have Gzeir Shava to Parah Aduma, which teaches me just like Parah Aduma is on the eastern side of Har HaZeitim, so too here it's on the eastern side. V'Rabbanon. Now the Rabbanon who use the Mechutz Machaneh to teach about Tumah, like the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, Heichi Sarifo. How they know where they burn it? They don't have this Gezer Shava to Parah Aduma. How they know where to burn it? Kinetanya. They have the Braita. Heichan Nisrafin. Where do they burn it? They don't burn it on the east. Litzvona. You do it on the northern side. Litzvona Shel Yerushalayim. North of Yerushalayim. Not east of Yerushalayim, but rather north of Yerushalayim. Why would you do it? north of Yerushalayim. North of Yerushalayim is, you take the tunnel tour, that's where you end up, on the north end of Yerushalayim, or by the Shar Aryeh. If you enter in the Shar Aryot, that is the northern side of the Mikdash. That's where you can see you're pretty level with Har HaBayit at that point in time, because the mountain, the bedrock is climbing to that point in time. The northern side is the weakest side of Yerushalayim, because it's the point where there's no huge valley on that side. But they do it on the northern side of Yerushalayim, outside the walls on the northern side. Why would you pick the northern side? As Rashi describes here, Shekol Masei Chatat B'Tzafon. Everything you do with the Chatat is done on the northern side. Shechitat Chatat is done on the northern side. North is the place for Kodshei Kodashim, or anything to do with the Chatat. And therefore, it's done on the northern side, not on the eastern side. Bechutz L'Shlosh Machanot, and it's done outside of the three Machanot on the northern side for the Rabbanon. B'Yosi Omer, a Beit HaDesh and Nisrafim. They're burnt where the Beit HaDeshen is. So that we know from the Pasuk by Parakohen Mashiach, which says that they burn it where the Shefach HaDeshen is. So now, Amar Rava, Man Tani the Paliga de Rabbi Yossi. Who is the Tana that argues in Rabbi Yossi? Rabbi Yossi makes a statement, he says, you do it al Beit HaDeshen, implying that someone else thinks you don't do it al Beit HaDeshen. The Gemara says it's Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov. Who? It's Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov argues in him. Titania. And now we have the explanation of this statement of Rabbi Yossi, which is, El Shefach HaDeshen Yisareif. This is by the Parakohen Mashiach. It says that you do it, El Shefach HaDeshen V'Saraf Oto. It says, Hotzi et kol ha'parah mechutz ha'machaneh ha'makom tor, El Shefach HaDeshen V'Saraf Oto. Al Eitzim Ba'eish El Shefach HaDeshen Yisareif. So El Shefach HaDeshen Yisareif. She'e L'Sham Deshen. There should be ashes over there. Elez Ben Yaakov Omer, She'e Mekomo Mishupach. That it just has to be on an incline. So the question about, you do it V'Shefach HaDeshen. What does that mean? So according to the Rabbi Yossi and the Tanakhama, which is brought in the Braita, says Al Shefach HaDeshen Yisareif, or El Shefach HaDeshen V'Saraf Oto, whichever one you have here, whatever the Girsa is. There, Al Shefach HaDeshen means literally you have to have the ashes there. That means they have to have done Hotzat HaDeshen, and there have to be ashes there. And then you burn it on top of the ashes of the Deshen. And that's why it says El Shefach HaDeshen. So he says the Al means literally on the Deshen, that's it, the ashes of the Shefach HaDeshen. Whereas Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, no, the Al is referring to the Shefach, the place where they dump the ashes. Where's the place where they dump the ashes? It has to be a Shefach. What's a Shefach? A Shefach is something that is an incline. Whether that means it was on the side of Eil, or whether it means that it was in a ditch that had a decline into it, but it has to be on an area that's not flat. It has to be an area that's declining or inclined, and that's where you place it. So that's their machlok, and that's what the Gemara says. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, Yei makom u'shupach, is arguing on Rabbi Yossi, who says that the ashes actually have to be there. It says the ashes don't have to be there, it just has to be a place that is mishupach, like where you would put the ashes. Not literally that the ashes have to be underlying it. So Amar Abaye, Abaye says, wait a minute, how do you know that's true? Maybe that's exactly what they're arguing about. Rava suggests that this is the makloket here. Rabbi Yossi requires ashes there, to be there from the Tzad Tadeshin. And Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov requires that it just be a place that is on a slope. Abaye says, how do you know that's what they're arguing about in this Braita? Maybe they're just arguing about whether there needs to be a slope or not. It could be that the Tana Kama, who we're seeing is Rabbi Yossi, Al Shefach Deshin Yisareif, She'el Hashem Deshin. And there should be Deshin there. It's a place where you put it. Then Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov says, She'e Mekom Meshupach. So Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that there has to be ashes there. He's just arguing about whether it's flat, or it has to be on a slope. And that's their machloket. And maybe Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov agrees that there have to be ashes there. So how do you know for sure that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is arguing about the ashes issue? Maybe he doesn't disagree about the ashes, he only disagrees about the nature of the area, whether it's flat or sloped. So Bai says, I'm not sure that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the one who's arguing on Rabbi Yossi, because he might agree with Rabbi Yossi that there have to be ashes over there. Now, Tan Rabbanan. Now we move on. New Braita. It says over here, by the parents here of Yom Kippurim, v'soreif otam, yichabes begadav, v'chatz b'sorov amayim, v'chakein yivo machaneh. Now the Braita says, v'asoreif, ha'soreif mitamei begadamim, v'lo ha'meitzit et ha'ur. The person who burns the animal becomes tamei begadim, v'lo meitzit ha'ur, not the one who lights the fire, v'lo ha'tamasader et ha'maracha, and not the one who fixes the pyre, who sets up the pyre, not the one who lights the pyre, but rather the one who burns it. V'ezu ze'a soreif. Who is the one who burns it? Ze'a misayeya b'shat sreifa. That's the one who helps while it's burning. I mean, he's the one who's stoking the fire, moving it around to burn, accelerating the burning process. He's the one that is b'tamei begadim. Yochel af shemenasu efer. You would think, even once they become ashes, mitamim begadim, that they also become tamei begadim. Tamalomar otam. It says v'surach otam. When you're burning them, then you become tamei begadim. Otam mitamei begadim, v'lo mishin asu efer. Not once they become ashes, mitamei begadim. Once they're ashes, they have no effect anymore. They're not otam anymore. They're not the par in the seir anymore. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, a par mitamei, nitach habasar inu mitamei. As long as it's still a par or a seir, it's mitamei. Once the basar has been consumed, they're not called a par in a seir anymore. And so, they're not mitamei bigadim. Ma bainayu, what's the difference between them? Igbenayu d'shavya charuka. If you char it. If you've charred it, it's no longer basar, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. So therefore, according to Rabbi Elazar Shimon, it's not mitameh anymore. According to the Tana Kama, that's not true because it's not ashes yet. It's only charred, but not ashes. That's the difference in stages as to what point it's mitameh. Now obviously this is all according to Rabbi Shimon and our Mishnah, because the Tana Kama thinks they're mitameh begadim as soon as they exit the Azara. So this is all according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that Tumat begadim is connected to the Sreifa. And so when is that Sreifa? Until when is the Sreifa that you become Tamei for? So here we have a machloket of Tanaim as to where the Sreifa ends. Does the Sreifa end when it's charred? Does the Sreifa end when it becomes ashes? And that's based on Basaraf Otam. What's called Otam? What's called a Paran Seir? Otam, does that mean once the Basar is gone, they're no longer Paran Seir? Or does that mean once they're ashes and they have no resemblance to the Paran Seir, that's when they are no longer mitamei? Alright, now next Mishnah. Amrulo, the Kohen Gadol, Higia Seir Lamidbar. The Seir has reached Midbar. How do they know that the seer reached the midbar? Dirkaot hayu osim. They made these dirkaot. Dirkaot are like watch posts. People that stand guard, Rashi says, but the Rambam and the Partanura translated as dirkaot as these pedestals or these high locations, meaning that that's where the scouts or lookouts stand. These are our scouts or the lookouts, so that's where they look from. And then they wave the flags over there. Whether it was the same person who was in the tent or whether someone separate, it's not clear here. And now they know that the seer reaches the midbar. Where it has to reach is interesting. Over here, my midbar, it sounds like it has to reach the tzuk. It has to reach the cliff. They wave once it's thrown off the cliff. That's when it's done. That from Yerushalayim until this location, or Beit Chorin, Shlosha Milin is 3 mil. Hochin Mil, they walk a mil, V'chozrin Mil, V'shoin Kedei Mil, V'yodim Shigia Seir LaMidbar. So it's clear that Rabbi Yehuda believes that when is this over, when can you go on with the Avoda? Is as soon as the Seir reaches the edge of the Midbar. What's the first location on the edge of the Midbar? It's Beit Chorin, or Beit Chodudo, wherever this location is. That's the beginning of the Midbar. How far is that from Yerushalayim? That is 3 mil. Now we said before that Yekiriya Yerushalayim, the nobleman of Yerushalayim, used to accompany the person who was taking the Seir out to the Midbar. So if they accompany him to the Midbar, they'd walk until Beit Chorin. Then they'd have to return back to Yerushalayim. So they walked 1 mil out, they walked 1 mil back. They walked them to out of Yerushalayim 1 mil, and then they walked back 1 mil. That's the Tchum. That's already 2 mil. And we know that Beit Chorin is 3 mil out. So they've already covered 2 mil of time. All they have to do now is wait the equivalent of what it would take to walk one more mil. And now they know he's at the Midbar, and they continue the Avoda. But Rabbi Yehuda clearly believes that the Seir Lezazel is done, quote-unquote, once it hits the Midbar. It doesn't have to go off the cliff. Tanakama seems to seem they have to wait till the cliff, and then they have this process by which they let him know, the flags, and they send the message back. But over here, Rabbi Yehuda says, you don't need that, because all you need to know is 3 mil. All right, so now, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, Alo Siman Acher Ayalehem. Didn't they have even a better sign? Lashon Shel Zarit, Tayakashua, Pitcho Shel Eichal. There was that crimson string that was hanging on the doorway to the Ulam, or the Heichal, Shigia Seir LaMidbar, Aya Lashon Malbin. And when it reached the Midbar, and they went to Kaper Bavonot, it turned white. Shinamar, Im Yuchatachem Kashanim, if your sins are like crimson, Kasheli Galbino, they'll be white like the snow. It says, they just had to wait for it to turn white, and they knew that it was done, the Seir LaZazel was done. A couple of things here. First of all, in terms of the crimson string here, and I've mentioned this before, and I'll send you the Makorot on this, it's not clear how this string fits in. We had the Braita yesterday which said that they used to keep it on the Eichal and then they moved it out to the Seir LaZazel. So are we talking about different stages here? When Rabbi Shmuel is saying, oh, they had the Siman on the string, is he talking even after they had the Gzeira that it went out with the Seir LaZazel? And he disagrees. And he says there are two strings. There's a string that's on the Eichal and there's a string that went out with the Seir LaZazel. Two different strings, and it never happened like that. So because of that, it's a question about how many strings there are, whether this is early on, and that changed because of the takana that they put in place. Or is this an argument on that braita? And he disagrees with the braita. He thinks that there are two strings. There's a string on the Eichal, and there's also a string that's going out with the Seir LaZazel, like it said in the previous Mishnah.
The string never turned white. No.
Right, so that's argued by some of the Mefarshim over here, that after the time of Shimon HaTzadik, back on Daf Lamed Tet, it says that certain things happen until the lifetime of Shimon HaTzadik. It says until the time of Shimon HaTzadik, the string always turned white. Afterwards, it didn't always turn white. So then you lose this siman. Then you could argue that Rish Mal is just talking about in the period when it worked. Afterwards, they had to come up with a different methodology because it didn't work anymore. So you have to, that's with the question about how does Rabbi Shmuel fit in that context of the Mishnah. Amar Abaye, Shma Mina, Beit Kududo, or Beit Chorin, but Midbar Kaimo. That's already in the Midbar. Ba'akamash Malon, the Kasav Rabbi Yehuda, Kevin Shigia, Seir Midbar, Nasit Mitzvato. Number two is, which I mentioned in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says that the Seir Lazel is done once it hits the Midbar, as opposed to the Tanakamo, who thinks you have to get all the way to the Tzuk. You have to get all the way to the cliff before it's done. Here, Rabbi Yehuda says it's done when it hits the midbar. Okay, next Mishnah. Valo Kohen Gadol Likrot. Kohen Gadol comes now in to read the Torah. Im Ratzal Likrot with Big Day boots, correct. If he wants to remain in the Big Day Lavan that he's wearing, he can do that and read it, because this is not part of the quote-unquote Avodah, so he's able to read in them. Im Lav, Koreh Beats Talit Lavan Mishalo. Then he can read in his own garment. He had a nice tunic, a white tunic that his mother made for him that he could use. Chazana Knesset Notel Sefer Torah. Chazana Knesset, who is the Shamash, takes the Sefer Torah, but no, the Rosh Knesset, and he gives it to the Gabai. Rosh Knesset, and the Gabai gives it, no, the Skan, gives it to the backup Kohen Gadol. A Skan Notel, the Kohen Gadol. And the backup gives it to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, Omeid Umekabel Vikoreh. Here there's a mixed mess in the gear, so whether it's Omeid Umekabel, and then Omeid Vikoreh, or Mekabel, Omeid Vikoreh, whatever the girsa is, he receives the Torah, and then he reads it. Where does he read from? He reads from Achrei Mot, which we're doing at Tal, which is Perek Tat Zayin, the Avodat Yom HaKippurim. Ve'ach Be'asur, which is found in Parshat Emor, that's Yom HaKippurim in Parshat Emor, he reads from that. Ve'golel Sefer Torah. Then he closes it up. He rolls it and closes it up. And he holds it in his arms. There's more written here, but I can't get to there because I have to wind it and it would take me too much time to get there. That is, that is Yom HaKippurim that's mentioned in the Musafim in Parshat Pinchas. So there he reads from, but he reads that he reads that by heart. Then he makes eight brachot. When he completes the reading of the Torah, he makes eight brachot. Ala Torah, which is Asher Natalanu Torat Emet, Ala Avoda, which is the equivalent of Ritzei, and Shuadcha Lavadcha and Bira Navot, Ala Oda'a, which is Modim, until Tov Shimcha Ulechane Leodot, Al Mechilot Avonot, which is what we say on Yom HaKippurim, which is that Hashem Shabi Salech Mochel Luchol Avonoteinu, Mochel Luchol Yom HaKippurim Azeh, Melech Mochel Vesalech Labonoteinu, so that we do that bracha. Vala Mikdash, Bifnei Atzmo, he makes a bracha on the Mishpach, Mitpalel Al Mikdash, and he ends, Baruch Shebachar B'Migdash, Ve'al Yisrael B'Fnei Atzman, and by Yisrael by themselves, Ve'al Yushalayim B'Fnei Atzma, and then Yushalayim by itself, and then Ve'al HaKohanim B'Fnei Atzman, which is Baruch Shebachar B'Zaro Shel Aron, and same thing, Baruch Shebachar B'Yisrael, then in Ba'ashara Tfilah, and the remainder of the Tfilah that he makes a bracha. The Gemara is going to explain what Shara Tfilah means with the brachas and Shara Tfilah. Now, first of all, you have nine items here, which is already a problem, but here you have nine items. You can see Rashi already puts, it says, V'chein al Yisrael, Baruch Shebechar Zaro Shel Aron, and then V'chein al Yisrael. The question is, does he combine those two into a single bracha? Or, is Al Yerushalayim B'fnei Atzma a problem here, because it's out of order? If I saw B'fnei Atzma, Yerushalayim B'fnei Atzma, then Kohanim B'fnei Atzma, which seems to be out of order, so I might have to do the Girsa, but you have nine here. In the Gemara, they'll go through each of the items, and we'll discuss each of these brachot. Now, Haroeh Kohen Gadol K'shu Koreh, whoever sees the Kohen Gadol while he's reading the Torah, in Ureh Parsevir B'nisrafim, cannot see the parts here be burnt, wherever they were done, whether it was on the eastern side, on Har Zeitim, or on the northern side. For Reb Parasayir and Nisrafim, whoever's watching that, in Reb Kohen Gadol Kshu Koreh. He doesn't see the Kohen Gadol reading. Below Mifnei Sheinu Rashai. It's not because he doesn't have permission. It's just a practical problem. Ela, Shaita Derech Rechuka, Umlechet Shneem Shaveh Keachat, or Nasid Keachat. They're happening simultaneously. Since it took the people carried out the Parasayir so long to get out there, that while they're doing it out there, the Kohen Gadol is reading the Torah. So all of this is taking place simultaneously. Because of that, you have to pick your place. You're either with the Kohen Gadol, or you're with the Parim and the Sirim and Nisrafim. Now the Gemara says, Miktani beitz tilit lavan mishalo. It says that he can do it in his own tunic. Michlau, the kriya lav avodahi. Sounds like the kriya to Torah is not an avodah, because you don't need big day kuhuna. Miktani, miratzah likrod b'big day boots, correct. But it says if he wants to wear the big day kuhuna, he can. Shma mino, big day kuhuna, nitno lehenot behen. And here you see that you can allow to use big day kuhuna for your personal benefit, not for avoda. Dilma, shiny kriya. Maybe the kriya to Torah is different. It's tzorech avodahi. Because it's necessary for the avoda. It's part of the seder avoda. And therefore, you can do it. Di bailan, big day kuhuna, nitnu lehenot behen, alo nitnu lehenot behen. Big day kuna, can the Kohanim get personal benefit from them or not? Do they have to be solely and exclusively used for avodah, or can they also be used for their personal benefit? Tashma, lo ayu yishanim b'big day kodesh. They did not sleep in their big day kuna. Shinohu delo. They only didn't sleep in them. As Rashi says, shema yafiach b'em, because maybe they'll pass gas and it'll be inappropriate. Hamechal achle, but they can eat in them. When it says again, demo shani achilo the tzorach avodah. Again, the eating is also a part of avodah. The Tanya, we have the brayta in Parashat Tetzaveh, which says, "Vachlu otam asher kupar behem." They have to eat them through their achilam. When they eat the korbanot, that provides kaparat to the balim. So that's part of the avodah. That's why they're allowed to wear them then. Gemara says, "All right, shinahu dolo." So they can't sleep with them. They can walk in them. They can walk around in them. They can move around in them. Gemara says, "Bedinu de luchay namilo." Truth is, they can't walk around them in either. Then why do they talk about sleeping in them? Sleeping in them makes it sound like sleeping, no, but everything else, yes. The Gemara says, no, even walking you can't do in them. So then why did it mention sleeping? It's because the latter half of that braita, which is, they fold them up, and they put them under their heads. Not literally under their heads, but next to their heads. They can't use it as a pillow because they can't get enough from it. They have to put it next to them. So that's the answer of how they keep them afterwards, is they fold them up and they put them by their head. And that is okay. So that's why it's teaching you what they did with them. Therefore, it's teaching you the latter half of the Mishnah. That latter half of that quotation is what's important here, and that's why they're talking about sleeping, because they're telling you what they did when they slept. They moved them to their heads and they folded them up. So because of that, that's why sleeping is mentioned, but generically, you cannot get hanah from the big day kuna. So we'll discuss that tomorrow. The Gemara is going to continue to discuss this issue, whether you're allowed to get hanah from big day kuna or not. Okay, we'll stop here.